Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel from this day from John chapter 17. I read for you again these words of our Lord. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved, for whom Christ died, rose, and ascended, unity is good, and it is necessary for people to thrive. Disunity and division is harmful. After all, Abraham Lincoln and Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Furthermore, the psalmist declares, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is most certainly true, especially so since our Lord Christ himself prays that all believers be one. Yet, how are we to understand this unity? What kind of unity is Jesus praying for? How is such unity established? How is it maintained? What is its purpose? Likewise, what gets in the way of such unity? As we listen to our Lord, we learn the answers to these questions. In the previous section of John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, whom he would send out as his apostles. He prayed that they would be one as the Father and the Son are one. He wanted them to be one in identity, one in purpose. He wanted them to be as one in the doctrine they would preach, the true doctrine that he had taught them. He did not want them to be led astray by false teachers. He wanted them to be united with himself and with each other. He wanted them to be of one mind and one faith. And this was all for the sake of the apostolic preaching of the gospel of Christ. And this so that all who would hear them would also believe in Christ. But Jesus did not pray only for the apostles. He also prayed for those who will believe in me through their word. You see, dear friends, Jesus was praying for you and me, and he still does. For by the grace of God, you have heard that apostolic word and been baptized. By the grace of God, you have been brought to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By the grace of God, you have been brought to believe in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Through God's gift of faith, you have been made one with Christ. More than that, you have been united with all who believe and confess the Lord Jesus. St. Paul puts it this way. In Christ Jesus, You are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And as great as this is, this unity, it is certainly not our doing. We did not and could not establish such a thing. Rather, the unity for which Jesus prays is established by God Himself as He works through His Word. And how does that Word come to us? Through the apostolic preaching. Law and gospel, sin and grace, repentance and faith. That's God's instrument for bringing people to saving faith in Christ. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And so it's through the Word of God, and specifically the gospel of Christ, that we come to faith. It is the Word of God which keeps us in the true faith. It's the Word of God which unites His people into the body of Christ and thus with one another. So if God creates and maintains unity through His Word, why are there so many divisions in the church today? Why are there so many denominations? Why are there divisions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or even occasionally here at Augsburg? If the unity for which Christ prays is established by God, why is there so much disunity? Well, the answer, of course, is sin. Because of the sin which inheres in each of us, we often depart from God's Word and will in one way or another. And every departure from God's Word, whether in doctrine, in life, or in practice, mars and disrupts our oneness and the unity that God desires. Any teaching, doctrine, practice, or action contrary to the Word of God cuts into the bond that ties believers together and may easily cut it all together and thus sever some believers from the oneness, dropping them back into the world. Jesus' prayer is that all Christians may be preserved in oneness, in unity, by complete adherence to God's Word. Now, we need to hear this because nothing the world offers will unify the church. Not social action, or social justice, or social media. Not the siren call of tolerance and diversity. And certainly not praising and glorifying that which is sinful. No, nothing the world offers or promotes for unity gives the forgiveness of sins. It is the grace of God alone that binds us together and makes us one. One with Him and one with all true believers of all times and places. Even here. Even now, it is God's forgiveness in Christ which unites us together in the body of Christ, with Christ as our head. So, why are there still divisions in the church? Well, because many in the church don't understand what real unity is all about. They think the unity of Christ, that Christ speaks of, has to do with some kind of outward unity without any real agreement in doctrine. They tend to overlook what the other teaches so that they can say they are united when they really aren't. For in short, they tolerate false teaching and often promote it. Furthermore, they accuse those who would defend the right and true teaching as the ones who cause the division. And yes, that can also occur here at Augsburg as God's Word comes to bear on our lives and on our own selfish choices. But our Lord tells us that true Christian unity is all about. He prays that they and we might be one by the glory which I have given them. And the glory the Father has given to the Son, and which the Son then gives to the world, and especially the church, is Jesus' death on the cross for the sins of the world, so that we might be forgiven. Jesus joins us to His glory, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, so that we may have life in Him. By the forgiveness of sins, we are joined to His body, united in Him. Therefore, true Christian unity comes from repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And as that message of repentance and forgiveness is proclaimed, it necessarily includes the preaching of God's law. We dare not preach approval of sin of any kind in order to make people feel included, because no one sees a need to repent when his sins receive approval. We dare not make room for teachings which obscure Jesus and His cross and set our eyes on other things, for there is nothing else which saves. We dare not tolerate teachings and practices that contradict God's Word, from which true Christian unity comes. If God's Word is lost, then we may be united in something, but we will no longer be united in Christ. And why is this such a big deal? Because Jesus wants you in heaven to live with Him there. He wants you to be sure of your salvation because Christ has made you His. By His suffering and death, He has made you one with Him. He united you with His death and resurrection in your baptism, so that you might be a part of His body, the church, and have eternal life. He cleanses you of divisive sin and iniquity by His word of absolution, guarding your hearts and minds in Himself until life everlasting. He gives you His body and blood in His supper, so that you might be united in Him. Christ wants you to be sure that death is not the end. He wants you to be certain that you will be raised from the dead and dwell in His presence forever. So, my friends, true Christian unity is all God's work in and among us. But this unity is not you agreeing with me or me agreeing with you. It's not about overlooking sin, but repenting of it and forgiving one another. It's all about us agreeing with Christ Jesus. And yet, we won't see this unity in its fullness or its perfection in this life because of sin. But as you are joined to Christ by grace through faith, you are also joined to all other true believers in Christ. God grant that you, me, and all of us be preserved in this unity and be defended from all that would threaten it. In Jesus' name, amen.